GoodSuccess.com. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the privilege to learn from you again today, how you actually want to guide us in the paths and that you have chosen for us, and you want to lead us forward, because you always lead forward and never backwards. I pray for everyone who is listening right now or who will watch the recording, that Lord, you visit everyone and let no one return back the same way. In Jesus' name, amen. The topic remains, go forward. About 2 weeks ago, we started a series called Go Forward, and we were able to see how God expects us as believers to move forward, that nothing should stop our movement forward, and that God never leads backwards but forwards, that no matter where we are, the challenges we are facing, even if it doesn't look like the promises of God are not coming to pass, we must hold on to the word he has spoken to us, which is go forward. If God has said go forward, it means he has cleared the obstacles. Even if you can still see them, it means he has cleared them. So we must understand that God's plan for us is to stick to his plan. If he has said go this direction, take step 1, 2, 3, it means we must take those steps. And any obstacle on the way will be cleared off because he has spoken. That is who he is. And because he always keeps his word, he's a faithful God. So we learned that the first day of the series, and then last week we went into something even deeper, especially talking about breaking the rules, which is what we are going to be dwelling on much more today. God respects his laws. The laws of God are ever true. They are ever stable. They don't change. However, what changes are the rules. Now, if you even check the dictionary of Google, you will find out that laws are more stable. Laws are things that people actually sit down to consider and to settle. It requires either a court of law or the parliament of any nation to say, these are the laws that will guide us. Anyone who breaks this will have to face the consequences, from paying fines to community service to staying in jail, which means despite the fact that somebody is a citizen of a country, they can withdraw the benefits he has as a citizen and put him in a jail. Now, putting him in a jail doesn't stop him from being a citizen. However, the benefits are gone. That is why even as Christians, we must understand when the Bible talks about laws, traditions. You will see Jesus talking about the traditions of the elders, and then you will see him saying law. And most times people get confused when the Bible talks about we are not under the law, the Old Testament law, that we are under a New Testament law. One thing we should understand is that the laws of God are always the same, because God is the same. If his laws are ever changing, then how do we trust him? His laws are the same. However, the method through which we obey those laws are the ones changing. So, if you look at the Ten Commandments now, is there anyone that is no longer in vogue? No. All the laws are still there. All the laws are still perfect. God has said, don't kill. He's still saying don't kill. In fact, if anything, has made even the law much more strict. It's now stricter than before, because it says if you curse someone or backbite someone, it's as good as killing that person. That's what Jesus told us. So which means the laws are still the same. It shows us the character of God. Now God is dependable. If he says this is what I want, if he said it thousands of years ago, he's still saying the same thing. However, the method through which we fulfill those things may now change a little. But the real principles, the real laws behind those things are not changing. Now, if we bring this back to good success that we are talking about, we will see that everyone, God has given you a calling, an assignment to fulfill in life. If you look at someone else who has the same kind of calling or the same kind of assignment, the method through which they fulfill theirs will not be the same with yours, or most likely not be the same. God has been calling people into full-time ministry, to pastor, to teach the word of God, but the methods have always been changing. They have never been the same. If you rise up today and you say you are a teacher, you are an evangelist, and you want to evangelize the same way John Wesley did his own evangelism, well, that person is in for some kind of trouble and will not be able to get the kind of results that John Wesley even got, because things have changed. Circumstances have changed. Now, John Wesley was riding us back at old age. If you now decide that now I must ride on a horse going from village to preach, that person is looking for trouble. Because in the first place, before you even get a horse, that's a discussion for another day. So you will not say you have to stay on the horse preaching, or now you have to talk to people in a public address system if you have a lot of people. No, that will not be wise. So you can see that the rules are changing. Now you have to do a lot of social media. No matter how much you preach now, if you're not preaching on social media, that person will not get the kind of result they want. In fact, we know about churches that the reason they are growing is because of their strength on social media. I was listening to this pastor and he said, I think he preached one message, it went viral on social media, and their church grew. The physical church grew. Now, contrary to public opinion, we may think that, oh, social media, that's where they're going to stay. But people started coming to that church because of what they heard on social media. You can see how the narrative has changed. The rules are changing, but the law has not changed. What's the law? Preaching the gospel, which will never change until Jesus comes back. We have to preach. But the avenue, the methods that we're using may have to change. So, bringing it to our personal lives, what has God called you to do? What is your assignment? What is God saying you and I must do? We must understand that the method we are going to use, the rules we are going to follow to be able to achieve that success will not be the same with what you have known before. Will not be the same as the status quo. In fact, if you want to do the same thing that they've been doing, it will become nothing but mediocrity. But God is a God of excellence. Let me dig deeper into our faith first, then I will talk about other things. For example, one of the laws of God is that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That law has been there. That is why the Bible talks about that God killed Jesus as a sacrificial lamb before the foundations of the earth. It shows us that God can be trusted, that his laws are the same. And that is why in the Old Testament, because the maturity of bringing Jesus to die for us has not come, so they were using animals, killing animals. So someone would think that's the law. But no, that's not the law. The law is that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And that is why they were killing animals, to actually atone for people, to replace people. And it was working. God was forgiving them. God was calling them righteous because they were doing these things. You will see that the moment Cain and Abel were born, Cain offered, I think, some other things, while Abel offered blood. God wants to see blood, atoning for our sins. His sacrifice was accepted. His brothers was not accepted. Apart from his act that was not being right, what he gave also was probably not what God was requiring at that time. So we can see that the law of God is the same. So if anyone says now that they are too mature to receive the atonement through the blood of Jesus, that person is trying to go to hell straight, no matter what else they believe. The law of God is that through blood is how we are saved. So that is the law when it comes to salvation. We will look at the laws when it comes to different areas of life also. The Bible says that the soul that sins shall die. That is the law of God. Everyone who sins is actually calling for death, whether they like it or not, whether they want it or not, whether they are aware or not. That is why there is what the Bible calls the law of sin and death. And then there's the law of the spirit. See, anyone who is born again has come under the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That spirit, when it operates in us, we are able to walk in righteousness. Now, that spirit, that law, will empower in us to be able to obey the rules. Like, don't do this, do that. This is what you should do. This is not what you should do. We'll be able to obey all those rules. But without that law at work, we cannot obey the rules. Even if we obey the rules, we are still not justified. It's possible for you to obey the rules and not be under the law. That is why what I was explaining earlier, like the citizen that was put in jail. Now, this guy is still a citizen. He has the law that makes him a citizen of that nation. But because he broke the rules, now he's been incarcerated. He cannot have and enjoy the freedom that has been given him. And why you know that the law of citizenship is still in place is that when this guy is released from prison, as long as he's still alive, he may be released from prison because they can prove that he didn't commit whatever they said he committed. Now, that guy can regain his freedom. Why? Essentially because this guy is a citizen of that nation. That is why he can regain it again. That is why every child of God who sins has practically put himself in the prison of the enemy and loses his freedom. But the moment they repent, God can bring them out again. But even according to the law of life, the first offender is treated differently than the second offender or the third offender. The rules are changing for them. So as a child of God, or as someone who professes Christianity, we must make sure we are not just professing Christianity and obeying the rules. We must make sure that the law is at work in our lives, which is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That is the real thing that gives us our citizenship. That is what makes us qualified to become children of God and to serve Him. Like I said, this explains why Jesus had to die, and there's acceptable and unacceptable sacrifice. So because someone is offering sacrifices, doing the right things, preaching the gospel, praying for the sick, that's why Jesus says some people are calling my name, using it to perform miracles. But when I see them, I will say, I don't know you. Do you know why? The law of the Spirit is not at work in their lives. They are doing the things, they are acting the things that a normal person with the laws in his life should act. They are just actors, but they don't have the real life in them. That's why Jesus will say, I don't know you, because you have not been registered. And I pray for every one of us that none of us will miss the mark when it comes to our faith, in Jesus' name. Amen. And like I said last week, the New Testament is not necessarily a new set of laws, but rules or methods for accomplishing the same thing, which is the righteousness of God. God wants us to have right standing with Him. And if you look at this thing, that explains why someone in the Old Testament is regarded as righteous and someone in the New Testament can be regarded as righteous. Why? Because the same thing still applies. The righteousness of God. God justifies them. They are offering all the animals, all the blood to atone for themselves, for their sins. So God still justifies them. But because the rules have changed, if you begin to apply or offer animals now, it will not be able to set you free from the law of sin. Why? Because the rules have changed. The rule now is that you must go through the blood of Jesus. So, how does this apply to my own personal life? Success, trailblazing, pathfinding requires breaking of the rules. And that's why the topic says, becoming the righteous rule breaker. For every endeavor of life, rule breaking is required for you to really succeed. It doesn't matter what you and I want to achieve in life. We must learn how to break the rules in that area, not the law. If you break the law, the person is playing with jail. But we are talking about the rules here. Rules are normally man-made. Rules are created because of circumstances. So because of circumstances and because of experiences. Now, some people gather themselves, agreed. These are professionals, people who have great experience, respected people. They agree that metals cannot fly in the air. And two of the children of one of them ended up creating the plane that will fly today, the Wright brothers. Why? Those people were talking about the rules because of their experience, because of the things they know, because of the limitation of their knowledge. They understood gravity, they understood density, and they are like, no, metals are too heavy to float in air. And they were kind of right. The only thing is that their knowledge was limited. Their children ended up finding out what they didn't know, that no, there is still a law that overrides whatever we've known before that can make metal fly. If you can make sure the metal is moving fast, it will float in air. And then they achieved it, probably years after those rules were made. So this is telling us that in any area of life, in any area of our endeavor, whatever rules have been set before, we will need to break those rules for us to be able to be trailblazers. Show me any man in life that has achieved great things. They are rule breakers. So for example, let's come to ministry. If you look at, I know many of us here respect our father, Bishop David Edeko. I will tell you the rules he has broken. Number one, when ministry was, you know, at their time, and even when some of us were growing up, we understand that you normally attribute Christianity, piety, righteousness to poverty. That was the rule. It was never the law of God. People just assumed that if you want to be righteous, then you have to be poor. And then he found out that no, this is a man-made rule. It is not the law of God. The law of God actually shows us that if you serve God, you will end up prosperous. And now, God used him to break that rule. Now, it is normal now for every one of us to believe that as a Christian, no, you are supposed to prosper. But it was not normal before, because those were the rules that were set up by people based on their experience. Every pastor was poor at those times. Every child of God walked in poverty, begging, borrowing, and all those things. And then they assumed that it was natural. And that is why for us to actually experience the kind of success God wants us to experience, we must be able to question things. What are the things that we believe around us? What are the things that we even believe in church, in quotes? We must check the scriptures to make sure these things are actually the laws of God and not man-made rules. So these people are rule breakers. So now let's bring it to the secular world now. Someone taught that computers have to be big. You know, that was the only experience then. And someone thought in his head that no, we can actually have what we call the personal computer. Now, children, young people will think that we've always had pieces like this. You can have a computer everywhere. Even your phone is a sophisticated computer on its own. It was never like that. A whole building was dedicated to the mainframe computer. And someone said, no, it's possible to have a mobile computer. Do you know some people thought probably they were crazy? Like, they always think that when you want to break the rule, what everybody believes, when you want to break them, they will always think you are crazy. But for us to actually become trailblazers in that area, we must be ready to break the rules. What rules are we supposed to break? We go into that very soon. Each person has to break the rules in their own unique case. What are the rules? Number one, personal rules. There are rules inside of us, things we have believed. These are mentality. That's why the Bible says in Romans 12, it says in NIVA, it says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world. See, patterns, rules, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So, for us to actually have the kind of success that we want, we have to break those rules. These are things that we've always believed. Some of them we don't even know when we began to believe them, because we inherited them from our parents, from our loved ones, from our family, from our communities, from our country. That's how we inherited these things. And these are the things that are actually limiting us from achieving the kind of success God wants us to achieve. So, what are the rules we really need to break? Number one, limitations, mentality from generations past that have become natural to us without us even knowing. That's why we should question it. If you realize that you've been having the same problem. Now, most times as Christians, what we do is that we say things like, you believe generational causes. I believe those things. They are real. But do you know the power of generational causes? Rules that we are obeying. Now, generational causes are based on loss of the flesh, loss of sin and death that worked in generations before us. Those are the things that empower those curses. But for us to really be free from those curses, now we are born again, we are free from the law of sin and death. Those curses are not supposed to have power over us. But if we are still obeying the rules that come along with those curses, then those curses can have effect. So for example, if a Christian who was born into a family that was full of all manner of generational curses, and those curses are powered by lust of the flesh, by fornication, by adultery, and the Christian who is supposed to be operating in the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus continues to do those things, obey the rules of the flesh, now those curses can have effects in the life of that person. That is why as Christians we must check our lives and make sure we are sticking to the rules that come along with the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So, what are we thinking? Are we still thinking poverty even when Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law and become poor for us so that we might become rich? That the riches of Christ may come to us, the riches of his glory and the riches of this life, material things, not just the riches of his glory, material things. Jesus was not begging and borrowing when he was here. Jesus lived a life of humility, but a life of dignity, a life of glory. So, as Christians also, we must look at our lives. Where in life have I been suffering from the things that I shouldn't be suffering from? Where in life have I been beaten down? Where in life have I not been having the kind of success I'm supposed to have? So we must question those things What am I taught? The major thing here is mentality. What am I thinking? If I'm thinking wrong, I will act wrong. If I'm acting wrong, I will of course have wrong results. So we must begin to question those things. How am I thinking? When you are going into business, maybe you are just thinking failure. Maybe that's why it's not working. Maybe it's impatience. Now, every good thing in life requires patience. Maybe I just lack patience. Every time I'm supposed to have patience again, and through that impatience, it is destroyed. Then I'm back to square one. Maybe that's the reason. Maybe it's just lack of faith, which goes along with the law of the flesh. So we must begin to question these things. And it is possible to be free from the law and still be obeying the rules, like I said before. Now, in the book written by Pastor Sam Adeyemi, I think it's called The Revolution or something, I've forgotten the title of the book. So it's a very tiny book. And he actually explains the circus, that there's this elephant that was used in the circus. And they tied a rope, I think maybe around his leg, and put it around a tree. So this elephant goes around this tree. It can go around, the rope is free enough for it to go around. But because it's been used to that, maybe from childhood, it naturally assumed that it cannot move past that tree. Even when they remove the rope, this elephant would not move past that circumference around the tree. Maybe because of the experiences we've had in time past, that is why we are still limited. It's about time we change how we think. That's why the Bible says renewing our mind. We need to change how we think in those areas of life. You know, most times, different areas of life, we really don't know that we are thinking wrong until we are in that place. That is why somebody gets married, and because the way they've been doing things in his own father's house when he was growing up, that's how his mother behaved, that's how his father behaved, he wouldn't really know that anything was wrong until the person gets married. Most of us, it's when we get married that we begin to display the same things our parents did. How our fathers talk to our mom talk to our father, how they did things, eat things, were not open with each other. Things like that begin to come up. But if we dig deep, we see that the same things were the things our parents did. And now, even though we are born again, those rules were in us, hidden without us knowing. And then they are now finding expression. And that's why the Bible says we must renew our mind. It wasn't talking to unbelievers there. It was talking to believers. Which means that even though you are born again and I'm born again, I may still be thinking wrong and acting wrong, except I renew my mind with the word of God. And the word of God is strong enough to break those strongholds. And I pray that every wrong thought in us that is making us still doing the wrong things, even when we are born again, I decree that those things are destroyed in the name of Jesus. So, how do we become the righteous rule breakers? Why are we talking about the righteous rule breakers? Naturally speaking, when we talk about rule breaking, we assume that yes, unbelievers are the ones breaking the rules. But here also as Christians, we must break the rules, the limitations, just call it the limitations, the wrong thinking, the mentality, the traditions, the cultures around us that are limiting us from achieving what God has promised us. So we must be ready to break those things. For example, if your parents were not in business and they've always been in career, do you know it may be difficult for you to operate a business if you decide to now become a business person? Because you don't have any reference point around you, so to say, except you believed around some people. Do we know why, especially in Nigeria, the Igbo people, do you know why it's easier for them to do business? Why? Because most parents are business people. Then these people, when they want to start a business, they go and learn the trade. They practically live with their bosses. And then they are trained in the path of business. And that's why when they eventually become free, they just start running the business. Why? The mentality have been built up to succeed in business. Everything around them was success in business. They will leave their parents. They will go and live with their boss. And study him. See his family. See how he runs business. If it was a liar, then they become liars. If it was a truthful person, then they become truthful people and begin to run business the same way. And then we see this success going on and on and on from generation to generation. Why? Because they built a system around them that brings this success. That mentality is the major thing. I remember when I was doing my youth service and we had this guy in the family house. Every time he sees something or he's watching TV, we say, ah, man, I'm money with that too. Why? It's been configured to see profit in things that naturally some of us will just discard. It's been configured to do that. It's been configured to think along that path. You say, man, if I could do this thing, I would make a lot of money. And eventually made a lot of money. Like, it was able to win this thing that happened during President Jonathan's period. It was able to win it, like ₦1 million. Is it ₦1 million or ₦10 million? I can't remember. It was a lot of money. We were all in the family house watching TV. This guy was also watching TV. Then he picked an idea. And in the family house, he began to execute it. And before we knew it, this guy won. So, it's about how we are programmed. We must be able to, number one, question traditions. This is how we've been doing. This is how we've been doing. We should sit back and say, okay, how is this thing really right? Is this what God wants? Is this what God has commanded? Traditions are so strong that it can override in our hearts the laws of God. And that is why when Jesus came, there was a lot of fight between the tradition and the law. Some people will say, if a child tells his parents, I'm a gift from God, then the parent immediately loses power over that child. Can you imagine? Tradition. And then they were thinking it's right. Jesus had to break it, had to rebuke that. No, this is not the law of God. It is your tradition. You are the ones that brought this into thinking. So, how do we become righteous rule breakers? Number one, question traditions. Number two, question cultures. The things that have become a culture, this is how we've been doing it. And guess what? If this is how we've been doing it, then we'll be getting the same result. Question the cultures around you. And number three, rules are meant to be broken. We must understand that rules are meant to be broken, but the law cannot be broken. If we break the law, that person is just playing with hellfire. But the rules around the law can be changed because God has methods for achieving things per time. That is why as Christians, we must be sensitive to what the will of the Lord is. So we must know what the will of the Lord is. So rules are meant to be broken. If there are rules around us, we must question them. Is this the law of God? Is this the method that God wants to use at this time? Then, if you are a lawbreaker, you will also be broken by the law. So we must be careful never to become lawbreakers. We must keep the law of God. And then, be super determined to succeed. That is one of the rules that will make you even discover that something is off. That this is tradition, not the will of God. Not the plan of God. Not the thing that can make me succeed in this career, in this business. Maybe in a particular business, they've had this ceiling that this is how much you can make. Or like some people think that you must borrow money to be able to excel in business. No, you must be super focused to know that no, it is possible to still succeed without borrowing or without doing all these other things. Then set your face as a flint. Avoid distractions. If we are super laser focused, we can immediately begin to pick what does not align with that law of God. And I pray that even as we wrap up today, that as we become laser focused, as we begin to question the cultures, the traditions around us, may we begin to see what God's will actually is and be able to discard the things that are just extra baggage that are hindering us from fulfilling the perfect will of God in the name of Jesus. In our marriage, let's begin to question those things. Am I doing these things because God has commanded it or because this is how people around me have been doing it? In my business, am I doing it the right way? Am I doing it the way God wants it? Have I limited my thinking and think that this is the ceiling to the success that can happen? And in every other area of life, as parents, have I limited it the way my parents taught me? That's how I must teach my children. No, we can pass the values without using the same methods. And I pray that God helps us to stay true, to stay successful in doing the will of God and questioning those things that don't align with the perfect law of God and the will of God. In Jesus' name, amen. That's the end of the episode today. Remain ever blessed in Jesus' name. I'll see you next week in Jesus' name. Bye, everyone. The good success.com